This is Kurt.
This is Jason.
And we are the MFG Cast. Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but I just changed that intro. Instead of saying this is the MFG Cast, I said we are the MFG Cast.
We.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm not just including me and you talking right now. I'm talking about everybody that's listening to this shit.
Everybody.
We are.
That's cool.
That's right.
Yeah. We're all inclusive.
That's right. Coming together, MFG Cast.
Get them all.
That's right. We're here to talk about Corvids, a very fun and sneaky and quirky and, I don't know, just a game that, like, when you said that you bought this, Jason, it caught me off guard, but also I was like, this looks like this will be fun.
Right, it popped up, I got hit by one of those Instagram ads. You ever do that? Like, you see something, you're just like, and I'm not an online shopper, like, I'm kind of against it. I'm old, so, like, when online shopping first turned into a thing, like, the first three things I ordered were wrong.
Yeah.
So I was like, great. So now I've got, like, this complex about it, so I never, but man... There's been a couple of those Instagram ads that lately they've got me, and this was one of them because I'm a bird nerd. I mean, their targeting marketing got me.
Yeah,
good job, yeah. Instagram, Meta, whatever you are, like our Meta overlords.
Yeah, because
it combines my newfound love of games, thanks to you guys, and my old school love of birds, and it's really good. Let me ask you something before we start.
Sure.
So you now you're a veteran. Gaming person, thank you for your service, Kurt.
You're welcome.
But like, when did you really start playing games? Was it like when you were a kid, or is it something that's always been part of your life?
Yeah, it actually has, and I put my family as getting me into gaming because we played all the games that people say when you say, "Oh, I love to board game." Oh, you mean Monopoly and. Sorry, and yeah, well, back then, yeah, like those are totally the games that we got into and stuff like that, and it's been a part of my life ever since. Oh my god, I'm trying to think of the word. Oh my god, I had it in my head.
We'll let you think this through here a little bit. You know, we all get there. So, is that something while you're thinking about that? I got another question then along those lines. So, that was something you said you did with your family. Was that like a we get done with dinner and we play a game, or was it more like, oh, hey, we've got the weekend and this is what we do, or just like more when you had like vacation time while you had other stuff, or was that just like one of those normal things? It was just like, hey, you want to play a game? Like, how was it in there?
So for everything you just said, yes. That's okay. Pretty much everything. It's just like, after dinner, do you want to play some Trivial Pursuit? Sure. You know, we go to a lake and stay at like a cabin or something like that. You guys want to play a game? Sure. We had a weekend, family's over. Do you want to play a game? Sure.
Like, so it was the extended family too, not just like your immediate family.
Yes.
To a point.
To a point.
Yeah.
It was more immediate family, but like, I would even say it was more of like just more of my immediate family. And then like, if we went over to my dad's parents' house, my dad's parents and his sisters also liked board gaming. So we play old fucking games like Uncle Wiggily, if you ever played that. That's like one of my favorite old school games. It's a terrible game.
Yeah, my family is
for a lot of people.
Yeah, my family is an Uncle Wiggily, but it's a different thing.
No.
And it's part of the reason I don't talk to someone.
Jeez, yeah. I think that we'll have to put that on the Patreon episode. But yeah, it's just, you know, the gaming's just kind of always been a part of my life. And the thing I was thinking about is I didn't become a quote-unquote hobby board gamer until we actually started this podcast.
Oh, really?
Like, just for your info, back when we first started this podcast, it actually was me, Mike, who we play game nights with, and another buddy of mine who we haven't... have since
Relationships change
kind change of thing. Exactly yeah. that kind of thing yeah. so we
get old, things happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we would play board games sometimes, we invite some of our friends, and then we just had the idea of like, let's just be stupid and talk about it on a podcast.
That's fun. I like that's cool that that's kind of how it started. So would you say, you know, I think people have an idea of stereotypes, obviously, when it comes to things. Like when I tell people that I'm playing board games, like
yeah.
still some of my friends are like, you, or people that have known me for a while and then they find out I'm doing this, they're like, wait, you play board games? Because I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that I don't think most people would think of me as the stereotypical tabletop board gamer,
yeah.
like whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
For good or bad, whatever that means. But like, would you consider your family maybe the more stereotypical with the board games, or did they have like a wide, like were you guys doing some other, you know, where you were doing the sports and the outdoors and like the things that maybe people wouldn't stereotypically associate with tabletop gaming?
Yeah, I think that we were not the stereotypical family when it came to that, because like we'd love to go fishing. We'd love to, like, one of, you know, somebody would be playing a sport.
So things that weren't necessarily the quote unquote nerdy things. Like,
yes.
there's a whole lot of other stuff going on where you kind of like dipped and dived into some of the yeah. other stuff.
Yeah. For cool. sure. Yeah. So it's like.
And I want to clarify, I'm not like saying like nerdy whatever in a negative
yeah,
way.
Obviously, exactly.
I'm really into this stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, have many very nerdy likes, but yeah. like. It is, you know, certain people will stay within certain genres of life, if you want
yeah.
to put it that way.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see people, like, how their family is, whether they are doing other things
yeah.
or whether it is just, okay, that makes sense. You guys play board games. You do paint by number. You know, like,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, whatever yeah, yeah, for sure. Because, like, I've always felt that it's okay to be a whole bunch of different things. Because, like I just said, like, I love to watch sports. I love to get outside if I can. I love doing nerdy stuff like playing board games, reading. I just did a bunch of writing last night. You know, it's like I don't like to be pigeonholed into a corner for
right.
something. I like to try to, if I can, expand my horizons.
It's one thing that I think has been a benefit of internet and stuff is that you can really get into some of these niche hobbies, but it gives people that maybe wouldn't have had a path into trying something that is a niche that's outside of their world to give them an opportunity to do some of that and find communities for it. So I think that there are more people like us, like we're talking about, where we've got a wide range where, you know, like I said, some of my longtime friends are going, wait a second, you're playing board games every week,
yeah.
and now you're doing a podcast about it? And they're like, well, the podcast we get because you never shut up. Like, but board games, really? And it's like, yeah, because like there's the opportunity, you know, obviously I didn't find you guys on the internet. It was through businessmen doing business. But yeah, I think that's cool. Well, that's fun to kind of learn where that comes from for you.
Yeah.
So has it really changed how you, like, what is something now when you're playing board games that when you were maybe in your teens or even your early 20s, because you're double that now, Kurt.
How dare you? Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, me too. Sad. But is there a big change? What are some of the big changes in games from then till now? Because I can even notice some of those games from a while ago, how much more in-depth some of them are now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you as a veteran gamer, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
It's never going to end.
No, it never will.
What are some of the changes in the industry, maybe, if you want to put it that way, that
yeah.
you're noticing?
Yeah. I feel like... I'm going to hit it from a couple of different ways. So, like, from the board game industry as a whole, I feel like more people are realizing that these days, these companies that make these games, they might not be these big companies and stuff like that that can afford all of the, you know, pieces and all of the, you know, box looks and all of the artists and stuff like that. So they have to do things a little differently.
Yeah.
So I feel like people are doing a better job at going at the company's websites, going to local board game stores and trying to support those companies that way instead of just buying it off of Amazon or buying it off of eBay and stuff like that to help these companies that need that revenue going straight to them and not through, you know, Amazon taking a chunk or whoever, you know, to help support that. Personally, for myself, I feel like I've become smarter with board games because I feel like these hobby board games, there's a lot to them and there's a lot to kind of remember and a lot to kind of help, especially if you're teaching them and stuff like that. So I feel like it's helped me become a smarter person, which I really do feel that that's great because I like to learn. And sometimes as you get older, you feel like some things are slipping and you're like, shit, I need to like, you know, keep my brain going.
Yeah.
It's like literally even today I'm talking to Tracy and I'm having trouble thinking of a small word.
I mean, you just did that here.
Yeah, exactly.
We all do.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And you do a great job of teaching with them, even when we're, even some of the stuff where you maybe read through it, because I am, as we've talked about before, I'm notorious for not being, like, I just can't figure stuff out when I'm reading instructions. I have to do it. I'd be better off just starting to play. So, yeah, you do a really good job, but there's times where we'll start playing a game, and it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. So then we work through it and talk through it and figure it out. So, no, that totally makes sense to be able to just kind of work through the old brain on some of that stuff. Yeah, some of the things I've even noticed that are some of the changes in the game being new to it, and then like I like to nerd out and deep dive into some of the stuff when I'm getting into things. So like I've looked at some of the different games and things, and it's with how, and I think we've even talked about it in some of the past, that if you've got a hobby non-board game related,
yeah,
there's probably a game for you specifically marketed for that by somebody that also enjoys that, which Corvids that we're going to talk about today. Like, I'm a total bird nerd. I love bird watching.
Yeah.
So this is very much somebody that knows their shit about birds and decided to make a game, and it's relevant. Like, everything in this game is like, okay, this is smart. This makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's somewhere in the past, it was maybe, like you said, those big named where we all know, like, the Saturday morning cartoons where they made the games and then they made the toys and then they made the cartoon and it was all interlocked to market them all out. Where now it's, you know, this is a person that like just made a board game, you know, it's like, or this other person that just had an idea, made it and was able to market it themselves and they sold enough to be able to make some more and sell some more and then so and so and so. Which is really cool. I think that that's a change that I've noticed just by looking at the history of the games, kind of, is how much more there is that has some real intelligent play to it,
which I
think is cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we talk about this game?
Yeah,
let's talk about Corvids.
Corvids.
This one is designed by Jasper Beatrix. Did you say you knew that name?
I did not.
No? And then illustrated by Meg Lemure. This one is by DBC Games. Corvids, the card game of trash and treasure.
Nice.
What else did I miss? I've never done the intro.
I know.
This is my game.
That's perfect. I mean, if you want to talk about how many players or game time and stuff like that, you can. If you don't want to, if you want to bypass that, you can. We just get right into it.
Nobody is making us do anything.
They are not.
It says it's 2 to 5 players, 20 to 30 minutes, ages 8 and plus. I'd say they nailed it on all of those things. I think 20 to 30 minutes, if you've got people that really are just focused in and just going for it, I think you could even get it done faster than that if you wanted. I think 8 plus is very, very easily figured out. There's very few rules to the game, and it all kind of makes sense. So as long as you pay attention to the rules right away, then you're going to be able to play this game, I feel like. And it goes really easy. One thing that I have thought about, because it's been a couple weeks now since we played, so I've had time to think about it. I kind of opened it up and played with it again by myself. This is a game that if you've got somebody that is not the kind of person that is happy being attacked in a game's rules, they will not probably have that much fun playing this game.
Yeah,
because you have to. So when you have one person in a group that is upset if you take that person's card or go after their stuff, you're going to have to kind of shy away from doing it to that person because you don't want to be a jerk.
Yeah.
But it kind of takes it away from the rest. So just maybe think of that going into it. If grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and a couple of cousins are coming over, and one of those cousins is the one that is going to be upset, like, hey, why is everybody coming after me? Maybe pick a different game for that night, or have them help you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is one negative, I feel like, to this game, is, like, you can't be upset, because you to play this game right, you have to go at each other.
You have to, yeah.
So the whole purpose of the game, what is it?
Because
you're really good at explaining these
things. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's basically what you're doing is you're building your own nest.
Yep.
You're a type of bird, you're trying to build your own nest using what they call trash and treasure. So you're picking up like nuts, whether they be metal nuts or
acorns.
Yep. Things like hooks, things like feathers. You're using those things to build your own nest. And to do that, you're pecking for your stuff, you're picking what you want, and through the game part, you're resolving stuff. So they have card effects and they have stealing.
Yeah, and the cards, it's very simple. So the cards are, for the most part, one-sided. There are some that are two-sided. Simple. It just gives you the amount of points, and then it's an object. Like Kurt said, like nuts, there's earrings, there's paper clips, tickets, keys, coins, things that corvids, birds, you know, crows and magpies and ravens and blue jays and all the birds of the corvid family who are known for being extremely intelligent will gather up and play with. And, you know, people train them to bring money back to their houses for them and things. So that's what's going on, is you're trying to get all of these trinkets, these treasures and trash back to your own nest so that you have the most points. But also, birds are notorious for being territorial and being kind of jerks to each other. So that's also part of the thing. And one of the game mechanics that I thought is fun is in the rule books, it tells you if somebody does something that's against the rules, or one of the things is there's a mat with all the birds that you have to keep all of the cards and everything on. If somebody accidentally flips stuff off, or somebody takes one of your things, one of the game mechanics is if you're upset, you're supposed to make bird noises at each other. You know, to make it so you are birds. So it's doing a really good job of making you act like a bird and just be fun.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. Like, yeah. I love games that are just fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is definitely that.
Yeah, it takes that theme and it makes you get immersed in it, especially with that. The one thing that I really like is the pecking part. So you actually take these, like, plastic tweezers and you grab a corner of a card and you flip the card over it. And there's could be stuff on it. There could be the feathers. It could be the other cards.
Yeah, as long as you can get to a corner, you can flip it.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it to me, it resembles a bird trying to take its claws and trying to grab whatever it's trying to grab for its nest.
And I think we all agreed at first when you read the instructions and then you see the tweezers and the cards and you're like, oh, so we just grab it and flip it. And then you try and do it.
Yeah.
And it is not as easy as you would think it would be. Like, we all struggled with it. I think Mike was the first person to accidentally flip stuff off of the mat.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh, Mike, ah, ah, ah. By the end of the game, we all did it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Multiple times.
Yep.
Because, like, it's tricky to get a hold of the slippery cards with your slippery tweezers. And there's, you know, there's some give to everything. So it was a little tricky, which added an element to it. Also trying to think about, like, what you were trying to stack up as well as what other people were trying to stack up. Because you've got some goals depending on what kind of a bird you draw to start the game. Everybody picks a card that's got a bird, and then you keep it face down to start with so nobody else knows what you are. And you're trying to collect things that are specific things that are on the cards. So, like, going after some of those things, you're trying to set yourself up for the future. And by the time it gets back to you, the entire board has changed.
Yeah.
Or mat, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it really is. It's just it's a trickier physical game to play than you would think it is. Not that it's hard.
No.
I think children can without a doubt play it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to pay attention. There's only a couple of rules. But if you don't pay attention to them, you're going to get frustrated, because it is like, You can grab cards by the corner with the tweezers and flip them. If you can see the corner, you can flip it. That pretty much covers the rules.
Yeah.
Everything else is just collecting and how you go about stacking your cards, which it does a very good. Every card explains that card, what it is, and what its action is.
Yeah.
So there's little left to the imagination, but you have to pay attention. Yeah. This is one where if you've got one person that's maybe talking off to the side or turning away, excuse me, everybody else is going to have to stop and kind of wait. Where this is one where if you go person to person to person, you keep going and everybody's paying attention and you let yourself get riled up like a murder of crows. The more you pay attention and the more you go for it, the more fun it is. And I think it is a really good game. I would actually like to play this with some kids.
Because
I think kids would make this very fun with their attitudes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the one thing I will give DVC games
DVC
for understanding and for also kind of respecting is that if it's hard for you to grab the cards and flip them, that's okay. You can do it because, you know, everybody's, you know, there's going to be certain people that have maybe disabilities, have certain things that it's going to be a little hard. They say you don't even have to use the tweezers if you don't want. You can try to use your fingers. You can get help. Like, I love how respectful they are in that and just be like, you know what, just have fun with this game. Don't let it frustrate you. Have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the rules, they even say that. Like, this is supposed to be fun. And then I watched one of the videos, because that's how I learned how to play these games. And Jasper Beatrix was actually the one that did the video. And Jasper, if you end up hearing this, I liked your nails, even though it did look frustrating to play them. So go watch the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. But she in there says, like, use some house rules. And she said some of the house rules that her and her friends will use when they're playing these games. Said if there's something, you know, like using the tweezers, if you've got somebody, like if some of you want to and some of you don't, like as long as everybody in your groups agrees, that's the point of the game, is just to go have fun. So I really do like that they're pointing out this is a game.
Yeah,
this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know, we all have that friend or family member. I remember being a kid and there's that family member I didn't ever want to play a game with, mm-hmm. because they were gonna get mad. And
yeah,
it was like, man, this is a couple even. It's like, this is supposed to be fun. That's one thing I always say. Like, you know, there's been a couple of the games where we had done and everybody's talking about it and like, Jason, what'd you think? I hated this game, but like nobody knows, because the whole point of playing games is to have fun.
Just fun, yeah.
And I like that they point that out. They make a point of pointing that out with this one, to like, hey, if this rule doesn't work for you, talk to your table mates and come up with a new rule.
Yeah.
And I think this game is very playable that way, where you could make up all of your own rules for this game.
Yeah, you really could.
And switch it up. And I think, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Partially because I am a bird nerd and you get to be a bird.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, and it's made well. Like, you know, like you said, with the pecking and the picking and stuff like that, some things you can throw away. So like if you flip a card off the table or off the mat and it hits the table, or if there are little wooden
feathers.
Those could fall off of that too, and like those, you get rid of them. So it's like, oh man, I just knocked over a bunch or whatever, and you get rid of them. It doesn't take away from the game. It actually adds kind of an element of danger, quote unquote,
right?
Or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, and one of the bird, whatever, where one of your goals as one of the birds was to collect the most feathers, and we had somebody that did not have that card that collected all the feathers and just didn't use them, because you use the feathers to steal from each other, out of each other's nests, to stack your stuff up, and we had somebody that just collected them all, and was just like, no, nobody's stealing, and that stopped the person that had the card from being able to, that needed to collect the feathers.
Yeah.
So like, there's some gamesmanship in here, which is really cool on that. Or if you know somebody's trying to collect a specific thing, keys or buttons or whatever, one of the things, and they need to collect those, you can grab them and flip them over. If you know you've got the lead, you could purposely throw some of that stuff off to the side, and that's part of the game mechanic, where again, if you've got that person that gets mad because you're purposely doing stuff to screw them over, that's one of the reasons this game's maybe not for them. That's part of the game, and then that person that is getting that done to them is supposed to caw, 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 you know, angry caw.
Yeah, exactly.
So very well done. Yeah. I will totally bird nerd out about this. I'll nerd out about this in every way possible.
Yeah.
Birds and games and tabletops and friends and whatever.
Oh yeah,
big it's fan fun. Of this one.
Yeah, the stealing part is I think is fun, because there's each. nest is around that game mat or whatever, and once they're revealed, then like you said before, you reveal what kind of bird you are, and now it shows what you have to get extra points. Yeah. And the crappy thing about that is the people that don't have their birds revealed, they can steal from you, but you can't steal from them until that happens.
Yep.
So then it becomes a game of, okay, well, I know that a couple of these are revealed and some of these other ones aren't, so maybe I'm going to reveal and get some of these cards off of these other nests so I can get their bird type revealed so I can screw them over, right, and start stealing from them.
Which really matches into the way, if I'm a bird and I want to steal from you because I saw you take a key and I really want to collect keys, if I don't know where your nest is, I can't come take your stuff.
Yeah.
But you know where my nest is because you were just by it. You can come steal stuff from my nest. So yeah, it's like, yeah, it's cheesy and whatever, but mm-hmm, like, it really adds an element to the
game.
It does. It's very cool. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. And so the end of the game basically is just once that last card is basically taken or discarded, if it gets flipped off the table or whatever, then you'll count all your points and see who wins between the cards that you have on the table, what kind of abilities they have, and then what kind of special ability you have on your certain bird.
And counting points was straightforward. It's count the numbers that are on your card and add them up, and then add up the ones that are on your bird's bonus cards, and that's it. It's very straightforward, really easy to play. You definitely don't need to be a full-on gaming nerd.
Yeah.
I
pretty straightforward.
I think this is the first game where obviously this was my game, so I did look into it a little bit more than I maybe have previously, but like, this is probably the first game where I was like, I think I know how to fully play this game just off of the rules and a quick watch of the video. One time that they put out.
Yep.
They did a great job with all of it, just making it where you could probably even kind of play it without reading the rules, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
as long as you have the concept of flipping the cards, picking, and going forward,
you
can just go.
You can just go. Yep. Yeah, for sure. And I like that you're doing that. We as a family, I'll put me and Tracy and, well, at one time Logan, but most of the time it's just me and Tracy. We used to just be like, oh, that game looks cool, let's get it, you know. And then it was just like, okay, is it actually cool? Whatever, it might not be, that kind of thing. We're getting to the point now where we have a crap ton of games. Some would say too many. I would say screw you.
Yep.
Just kidding. But we are culling a lot of our old board games. Number one, because eventually if Logan moves out of this house, we're probably going to end up going to downgrade into something that's smaller, something that's one level, so my wife can get around easier. And we don't need as many board games, you know, that kind of thing. Plus,
that sounds like a terrible, you don't need to go through life only having what you need, Kurt. You know you want them.
Believe me, I get it.
You're just physically running out of room.
Exactly.
That's so damn many. So many, games. Many.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, like, thinking about our board game nights and stuff like that, if I go through and I'm looking for a game, like, because we do the thing where one of us has the board game for the week, so we get to pick either one of ours or somebody else's or whatever. And if I go down and go through board games and I overlook a game more than once every week, what am I doing with that game?
Right. You know, and especially like with how many games, and people, if you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, Kurt's got a lot of games. Kurt has thousands of games.
Well, it's not that many, but it is. It's getting,
I bet,
there.
You easily have 1,000 games.
No, there. We have over 500.
Oh, you've counted?
I've counted.
Nice. Of course you have. Yeah. Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
there's a lot of games. So like, we play once a week, and we have 3 to 4 people picking one game one week. Granted, I don't have that many games, so I pick out of your guys' games a lot of the times, or we'll defer back to ones that we played in the past. But we could not play all of your games in, oh, shit, I've been playing with you guys for a year and a half, and we have barely touched your games between the games you have, Mike has, and now the few that I have.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if you think there's 52 weeks in a year, we only play one game a week, we don't even play, between me and Tracy, we could possibly play two of our board games in consecutive weeks. That's still,
a
500 divided by 2.
I'm not doing math.
I'm here
to talk and play games.
Hey, I'm a nerd. I'm not that big of a nerd. I'm not doing it either.
It was 250.
Thank you. So, Is that years? Is that weeks? That's weeks.
So many.
How many is that? Jesus Christ.
It's a lot.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Too many.
Too many.
Yep.
So, you know, it's nice. Let's go back to the point I had before we
you
got
thought
in the weeds.
Of your point?
Yeah, literally, I was like, there was a point and we got out of the weeds. I'm back in them. I want to do more research. I want to limit what we have. Me and Mike have actually talked about this. Like, if we do like gifts for each other, we want to get expansions for games that we love already.
So then
we can just have that instead of being like, here's four more board games, even though we do that every once in a while. Because like, even Mike was like, well, I've got a lot of board games, but then he just got birthday money. He's like, I just bought a bunch of board games.
Yeah.
So, you know, one day to the next, it could change.
Yep. Nope, I feel you on that one.
But yeah. I love that you grabbed this game. It's such a quirky and different game, and there's not one negative thing I have about that game.
Yeah, I don't have
not at all.
Nothing.
Not one negative thing I have about
that game. No, the art, not that there's a lot of stuff, but the art's very well done.
Yes.
The game itself is simple but complex enough to keep playability. Like, you could play this game multiple times.
Yeah.
It's easy enough that children can play it or novices could play it. But enough to it that if you really wanted to get in depth, like some people that are veteran board gamers, thank you for your service, will be able to enjoy it. No, they nailed it. This is a really fun game. They did a good job of stressing this should be fun and mission accomplished. Good job, Jasper. Good job, Meg.
Yeah, perfect. Have you tried this at all? Let us know on our socials. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. Let us know if it's something you're interested in, you want to know more about, reach out to us. I'd love to give you any some more insight on it. If you need pictures, anything like that, we can give them to you too. I might even release them with the podcast episode. So who knows?
Things are really happening.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for letting us ramble on and having fun with this game. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
I'm Jason.
And this was the MFG Cast. Every time.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.